Measure Up Podcast, Episode 8, Preparing for Successful Performance Measurement. G'day and welcome. I'm Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure performance of your organisation or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast, about preparing for successful performance measurement, our feature article is 7 Tips to Prepare Your Measures Team for Success. We'll help Measure Up subscriber Liz answer her question about how do you build the motivation to improve performance skills and make them important to staff. And we'll wrap up with a quick tip called Success Loves Speed. But speed aside for the moment, because the Brisbane floods, which you may have heard about on international news, they've certainly meant a slower start to the year than I had planned. Now, we thankfully didn't go underwater, but all the weeks of relentlessly torrential rain that caused the floods in the first place has also caused a few landslides on our property. We've got our steep driveway subsiding in a couple of spots, and also a nice big chunk of earth slipped down the steep 6-metre slope that runs only a couple of metres away from the whole one side of our house. So before our driveway and our house slide away, we've been busy with filling and stacking hundreds of sandbags using the earth that came down in the landslide, creating a makeshift emergency retaining wall. But we are counting our lucky stars in comparison to what's happened to so many thousands of people in the floods. And despite the stupefied haze that's even still hanging over Brisbane, I did manage to get my 2011 strategic plan finished, and it means 3 priorities for me to focus on in the coming year. The first priority is about being a passionate pump evangelist, and that's really to do with getting the message out there about what good performance measurement's about and attracting the people that I'm supposed to be helping. And those are the people who will be performance leaders in their organisation or who want to become performance leaders. The second priority I have for this year is to help more of my customers get measurable success with PUMP. And that's very much about building up an accessible evidence base for how good performance measurement really does impact the performance transformation of an organisation or business. And my third priority is about leveraging the business so that it's independent of my time. And that means making it able to reach exponentially more people who can adopt and succeed with PUMP-based performance measurement. Now, I've chosen strategic projects to implement these 3 priorities, and I'll give you a few examples, I guess. Flipping through my strategic plan here as I speak with you. For my first priority about being a passionate pump evangelist, writing my book. That's one of my strategic priorities to do with that. Also, I want to revamp my sales process, you could call it, so that it's less about selling and more about encouraging people to explore the options and pathways that are available to help them really get performance measurement working in their organisation. Now, to make execution of my plan easy, I created an operational plan to go along with that strategic plan. Now, there's a good chance you're going to think this is really nerdy, so brace yourself. But I have taken all of my program delivery projects, which are the usual things I do, the performance measure blueprint workshop, for example, pump certification program. I've also taken all of my routine business activities like financial management and KPI monitoring, and also all of my strategic working on the business projects like writing the book and creating a new customer relationship process. all chunked down into actionable tasks. They're all listed in this Excel spreadsheet, and I've imported them into Outlook. Now, it did take a couple of days to do this, and staring at a spreadsheet for that long, trying to get dates lined up and making sure I didn't miss any important tasks, it absolutely did get a bit mind-numbing, but it really was absolutely worth it, because now I feel very prepared for the year ahead, very confident that I've made the time in my diary for what matters most in reaching my goals for the year. I guess you could say I feel prepared for success, and that makes a nice little segue to this episode's feature article. 7 tips to prepare your measures team for success. Now, you can get the written copy of this feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. The people who make up your measures team aren't in it for the glory or the glamour. No, performance measurement can be a dirty job, particularly when you're faced with an organization that still sees it as threatening, boring, and a bureaucratic waste of their time. So you must keep your measures team focused on the real prize, the pride of leading others to successful organizational or business performance transformation. And here are a bunch of tips to prepare them for that kind of success. Tip 1, don't fix what ain't broke. Encourage your measures team to focus on measuring only the performance results that they can, should, and will improve. We measure to improve performance, not just to monitor it, and most certainly not just to have something in the KPI column in the business plan. Tip 2, focus like a laser beam. If there are dozens of things your measures team is trying to measure, they won't succeed at measuring anything at all well. If there are a handful or two of things your measures team is trying to measure, they might succeed at measuring one or two of them well. But if you can focus your measures team on just 2 or 3 important performance results to measure and improve, they'll likely succeed at all of them. Tip 3, no measurement by moonlighting. No measures team will really succeed at measuring what matters if they just try and squeeze in measurement activities over and above a full-time day job. They need to have between 20 and 40% of their work time allocated to the measurement project. Tip 4, plan the work and work the plan. Measuring performance isn't a brainstorming session. It's a process that needs deliberate attention to a series of specific steps, if you want to succeed, that is. We design our performance measurement projects with PUMP as the backbone, making sure we give deliberate attention to deciding which results are worth measuring, designing the best measures for those results, defining the measures to ensure they can be implemented, creating performance reports that are useful and usable, and interpreting the measures so we know when to take action and when not to. Tip 5, don't skimp on skilling. Performance measurement is not something that comes naturally. Those who attempt to find meaningful performance measures without any specific skill in measuring performance end up with useless crud that just adds to all the reasons why people don't like measuring. Give your measures team the basic skills in recognizing good measures from bad, making goals measurable, designing and defining meaningful measures, graphing them usefully, and interpreting them validly. This is the purpose of the PUMP Performance Measure Blueprint Training. Tip 6, begin with the end in mind. Start your measures team off with an exercise in painting the big picture of their success in all its sensory-rich detail. What will be the ultimately fabulous outcomes of having these great measures they're about to develop? Keep the end in mind too, to fuel motivation, focus, and care. Tip 7, continual improvement trumps targets. Targets can be worrisome things. They send people into a panic about not being able to achieve them, and all forms of sweeping problems under the rug and fudging the figures take over from true performance improvement. Consider doing away with targets and focusing your measures team instead on establishing a discipline of continual improvement over time. Now, if you want to take action on these ideas, here are some thoughts for you. Firstly, do you even have a measures team? It's a group of 5 to 7 people who work together to create and implement the right measures for the organization or for any team or department or process within the organization. It might be formal as part of the strategy office, but more usually it's informal and formed by a group of volunteers who work in the area to be measured. Now, one of these tips was about making sure your measures team has at least the basic performance measurement skills, and that's the topic of this episode's question from Measure Up subscriber Liz. How do you build the motivation to improve performance skills and making them important to the staff? Well, we all know that if people are going to learn something and learn it well and remember it, they have to feel motivated to learn it. They have to see how it can help them achieve a goal that's important to them. It's no different with performance measurement training. People need to see how learning how to develop good measures is worth their time. So there are a few things to consider when you want to build that motivation in people to learn about KPIs. Firstly, make sure you can link performance measurement to something that matters to them. For example, maybe by having better measures, they'll be in a better position to negotiate with management to increase their budget or to recruit more staff so they can give a better service to customers or stop working excessive overtime. Or maybe by having better measures, they won't be held accountable for silly targets that they can't currently achieve. Secondly, they'll need to understand how performance measurement does require some skills and that it's not as simple as a brainstorming exercise. Most of the problems people have with performance measurement come from doing it badly, like having KPIs that suck, spending too much time collecting data, producing reports for management that never seem to make a difference, and even having to fend off the wrath from managers when arbitrary targets that were plucked out of thin air or some other nasty place, when they aren't met. Thirdly, it will help no end to keep any kind of performance measurement training as simple as possible when people are quite new to the idea and maybe still even a bit hesitant. If you can, choose training that's fun, practical, and easy, as opposed to most of the boring management jargon-filled theoretical training courses that seem to be all over the place. I'd encourage you to consider two options for training your staff in performance measurement. The first option is using a self-paced training guide called Getting Started with Performance Measures, and you can find it at www.gettingstartedwithperformancemeasures.com, or the Pump Performance Measure Blueprint. That's another option. It's a 2-day public or in-house workshop, and you can find more information about that at www.performancemeasureblueprint.com. Now, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, just email me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Now, I want to emphasize just how important it is that any training in performance measurement you do is very practical, because the last thing you need is more training workbooks gathering dust on the shelves. And that's why I chose this episode's quick tip to be about one of my favorite little mantras: success loves speed. Now, I'm not sure I even remember where I first heard that phrase, success loves speed, but it certainly made a profound change in my life. My belief up to that point was that for great success at any endeavor, you need to put in a lot of time in planning and practicing and perfecting, and you shouldn't be overlooking any little detail. But I was wrong. Success in any part of life at all seems more dependent on how fast you can learn the things you really need to know or need to do to reach your goal. And to learn fast, you actually have to fail fast. To fail fast, you need to take action. You can't learn about what works and what doesn't work when you're planning, procrastinating, or perfecting every little detail. It probably wouldn't hurt to rethink what failing means too, as we often shy away from failure. We take it personally and feel like we ourselves are the failures. Instead, we need to think of failures more like experiments. Any experiment either works or it doesn't. And the success of that experiment is not about whether it works or not. The success of any experiment is whether we learn from it or not. Apparently, the first 10,000 of Thomas Edison's experiments to create the light bulb failed. But he learned 10,000 things about how to make a light bulb when he finally succeeded. Ever the optimist, Edison's been attributed to many different quotes, but here are some of the quotes that I think are quite pertinent to this idea of success loves speed. "I'm not discouraged because every wrong attempt discarded is another step forward. I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. I never did anything by accident, nor did any of my inventions come by accident. They came by work. The value of an idea lies in the using of it." And the final quote I like, "To have a great idea, have a lot of them." Well, you do need to plan your performance improvement projects. As soon as you've got a good handle on the outcomes you want, the possible pathways to get there, and the important risks to manage along the way, start acting. Start experimenting. If you fail, learn and try again. If you make progress, learn and keep going. This is a really important message to share with your colleagues who still don't get what performance measurement's about. We measure so we can learn sooner about what works and what doesn't work. Measuring helps us see and know things that we can't easily see or know just by turning up at work and doing our job. Because most of our time, most of our attention is on what's happening right now, right in front of us. Measuring gives us a more objective, bigger picture view of what's really happening, of the results that continually come from our work. Now, a good tool to give some practical rigor to the success loves speed concept is the PDCA cycle that you may recognize from the quality movement. P is for planning the goal you want to achieve. D is for doing what needs to be done to make progress. C is for checking if your doing is working or not. And why, and incidentally that's the measurement part, and A is for acting on what you've learned to keep progressing faster toward your goal. And it's a cycle because you return to the P or the plan phase again and keep moving through the cycle of plan, do, check, act until you've achieved your goal. If you keep this continuous improvement cycle as the framework of your performance improvement projects and remember that mantra of success loves speed, imagine what great performance transformations you can achieve. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks again for joining me. You can download these podcasts and also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.